I see the opportunity that you should have told them that you only see the honorable members.
You all got promotion today. You all are honorable members.
Talk to one meeting, you are honorable members.
Thank you.
How are you, Brigadier?
I'm fine, sir.
You are meeting the delegation.
That's correct, sir.
Okay. Are they behaving?
They are behaving very well.
Why am I suspicious?
The honorable members have their spouses along with them, that's why they're behaving.
So they are not much into union bills?
No.
Is anyone of you sitting around Molotov?
No cocktails today.
Okay. I'm Nyami Benigwe, the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Defense and Military Veterans. I'm being accompanied by one other guy here in Parliament, giving me a lot of problems. You hear the story of the Georgie deal?
Yes, yes, sir.
There's that type of member. He's very new in Parliament, but he's very much. He's called David Mania. He's a colleague of mine. We're working together. He's 2 members of Parliament here. We've got Mania. She now facilitates each one everything in Parliament. And what we are doing. Can you hear me, ma'am? Oh, I see. I want you to hear me. So this is David Maynard and I'm Nyame Zibigwe. We have tried to invite every member of Parliament who's on the Portfolio Committee of Defense to come and join us so that we can then talk to you about the work that we do, the fact that we do for this. And I do hope that you'll have an opportunity. This is Parliament. I know in the defense you don't ask questions. In Parliament, you've got the right to ask questions. So you must feel very free to talk to me about all your issues. I'll give you the context. And I tried to brief you up until yesterday. What does that pronouncement mean for you now? In relation to your remuneration, your service, your conditions, what does it mean? Because that is going to be a very necessary step that is taking place within the event here. And it's very much important for us to be aware. Although the finalization of the policy, I'll speak to you about it. Of now, I must listen to Honorable Member Brigadier Skuman so that he tells me what it is that we are looking for.
Thank you, sir. So yes, we are from the South African National Defence College, and our main task and aim and responsibility within the SANDF is presenting the Executive National Security Program, and it entails looking at national security in its broadest spectrum. On the program, we have senior officers within the Department of Defence and SANDF, and from the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, and our Military Health Services. We also have international guests on the program. On this specific one, we have 4. We have Commodore Ponza from Mozambique. We have Captain Amadu, a naval captain from Nigeria. We have a Colonel Bahat from Egypt. And we also have Colonel Silveira from Brazil. We also have members from our other government departments and parastatals also on the program, because as I said earlier, we want to make it as broad, as strict and as possible. So we have 2 members from the South African Police Services, Director Nemambola and Director Gorabi. We also have a member from DTI, Mr. Bassadieu, a member from CITA, Mrs. Oret, and then also from Arms Corps, Mrs. Ramgulam. So, obviously, along with us is the spouses. Earlier you said, are they behaving? Yes. The spouses join us on the trip to Cape Town. And we are looking forward and are privileged to be here this morning. Thank you very much. So, we would love to understand, you know, how the Portfolio Committee works. How do you do your dealings? And obviously, some of the insights then you promised us earlier. And then, if you will allow a couple of questions afterwards, to understand how you, let's call it, perceive national security.
as I said, I've got now two members of parliament. That would be us. Now, these are better than the four of them. But they are told that they have been trained, maybe in any case, in the 1950s, Mandela. They shoot once and then they rely. And they all end up in prison. But we've got him in amongst us. And as I said, of course, be very careful, I'm not worried. No, if you want to take me, you can come and put it here. If you want to hear Papa. We have part of his upbringing. He was bringing up, he was caught up as a lady. So we don't want to like, we were well equipped. So we can talk about some of the doctrines of the army or whatever. He is going to advise you properly or how to support. And both of them are going to help me to respond to questions. I don't know where to start, but I do know what to tell you. So I'm going to tell you in a very broad way. If there are any questions, it's got a democratic kind of engaging me as much as you can. Maybe we have that the details of what are announced yesterday. What can you get it from? What can you get it from? What can you get it from? Look, the first thing that we must tell you when it comes to what happened in Union Building, as Parliament, as an institution, we unanimously condemn that activity. We don't support them. We really think that they were out of order. People were involved in that. Now, you know, you must understand what we're saying. What we're saying is that, yes, we do have problems of weight. We do have challenges of your conditions. Our conditions work, I know the type of problems that we have. I've gone to everything. I've been in your portfolio for some time. So I do know the conditions that I do confront within your business. You do know the fact that you are not being paid proper. That we be very clear about. Right? Support you on that. And that the baby that it was to the community in the defense itself. But if you don't need them, the correct path to be followed, that one is the challenge. We have not debated it from as we are policymakers. So we have not debated it. What we know about is that the Constitutional Court has imposed on the defense that we need to be able to do this thing, allow them to have an opportunity to organize themselves, allow them to go to a bargaining chamber, where they are able to negotiate their working conditions. We do know that. And as Parliament, if you didn't come today, we are preparing to make our view here in a particular time. We are very clear that the arms in looking the country, when the Constitutional Court speaks, the judiciary, Parliament, and the executive have to speak. But it doesn't then mean that we don't have to challenge the Constitutional Court. And the route that is going to follow by Parliament is we are going to raise this particular development that has taken place within the Constitutional Court. We agree it's old, started in 1999. Yeah. It's been around since 1999. We've been applied our mind. But now members of Parliament are saying that we need to take up that challenge. We are the lawmakers. It's not the judiciary. It's not the Constitutional Court. Can make the broad parameters. But it's our responsibility as Parliament to make that particular. We write the legislation. So we need to look at that policy and make it. And now, since that incident, the development of yesterday was the ministry is going to have now taken the powers away from the public service administration. The power that sees, that overlooks, that makes you civil servant, taking that power away. But we are saying that you are very special. You can't be handled as public servant. You have to be taken out of the public servant. So that the FNGF is handled totally to them. Because there's one imposition also by the Constitution. The Constitution says that you need to look after the national security. Now, if you have to look after national security, you are then not described by the Constitution in the same way as any other citizen. The Constitution talks of yourself as the most professionally disciplined people. Now, what the minister would say is that that is never defined in relation to any civil service in the army. It's only defined in relation to the defense force. Now, it means we need to apply our money. Because if you look at that incident at the UN meeting, it talks too much about the discipline amongst yourselves. It talks, so you must not look at the defense in terms of the army. You are around about 10 companies. You are there in the defense. You are there in the Air Force. You are there in the maritime. If you are going to strike in the maritime, it gives you an opportunity to strike while you are fighting a submarine. What is going to happen? Are you not going to endanger the life of other people? If you are going to strike while you are in the Air Force, in the air, what is going to happen? It's a challenge. So it doesn't mean that what the conduct of the people in the army gives them the right to do everything. And it seems that Mlange, there's another veteran coming in there. That Mlange can come up. Yes, they are giving an opportunity to read it. There's a card there. It is that Mlange also one of the so if you are going to say you are giving a right of humanization to the FNGF without being considered or the vastness of the FNGF, you are creating that problem. Yesterday we were dealing with people from the hydrographic component of the FNGF. Those are human beings. And they're dealing with a very specialized people. Of drafting an atlas that is directly to our ships. If they can go into a point strike, who are you not endangering? They're endangering our lives. I mean, the problem that we have now is to broke them when ships are stuck and they're not moving. If you can give them that opportunity of striking. So, unionization is a very complex problem in the India, and we can't agree on it. One is very fair. I'm saying we understand your condition. We support you on your condition. That's why we're saying to the minister, the route that you have taken is the correct one. Of working out, we are going to be debating with her. She's given us an opportunity of deciding. But we in Parliament, as members of Parliament, what we have from the delegate remuneration, that we set our own remuneration. Because we can't decide for ourselves that they pay me so much. Somebody has to sit somewhere and decide. But we need to be involved in that structure. But with you also, we are saying that develop a structure that is going to be able to make sure that it concerns every component of the agenda. And talk to you when you decide, when you at least decide about the type of relationship that you are supposed to have within the agenda. So that we can be able to come to a guide that could guide the minister for many years to come. But throughout now, everybody works as we like. We come in today as a politician, as a head of the executive, then what we see when it's coming. We hope that that coalition will be able to put a permanent feature so that whenever we come and go, there's a feature that says this, whenever your salary has to go up or down, there's a body that could be able to do that. That's a body, that's a that's what I'm saying, which means that there will be a component of the academic, there's governance from the first part. If a variety of people are going to put them together under a commission, look now short term, how to improve your condition, and take a longer term view, how to improve the situation. We were telling the people in the high school of comfort, the people can help. You have contacted us as a student. I was paying you enough. We need to be able to come to that partner. Because if we have got skills within that second year, we want to get into specialized training and beginning to rise in the second year. Now, it doesn't happen in the past, so if ever we are going to put up a salary in terms of what happened within the second year, that's it. And it would rather be in the Mamum Kabate can come up here. This is a separate note. Your joint selling committee on the teacher. So what we are saying, that is the challenge. That's what we are doing. So that what we say, we don't support what happened within the human being. Because you must look at the human being in different circumstances. One, you are upholders of the law. You have taken oath and upholding the constitution. If you are going to be the first one to fight against the constitution, you are taking a problem. You are making every citizen in South Africa to feel a little bit uncomfortable. But who is going to protect us? And that is the challenge. And the union, well, there are four. We're not dealing with one union. We are dealing with four unions. We are dealing with SANDU 1, we are dealing with SANDU 2, we are dealing with SASCO, we are dealing with the Democratic Union. Now when we say to them, who was a student in this? It's me. When you put pressure politically, no, I don't think it was me, it was that one. I did that. Now you can't negotiate with that. SANDU 1 claims the business. SANDU 2 comes to us and says, we don't support SANDU 1. SANDU 2 is a different political drama. Talks about revolution and national democratic struggle. You go to Democratic Union and talk about another. Now here, if you are serious, you can't have such an arrangement. The same people that you claim that you are representing, you are inviting them. You don't put them together under one voice so that they are able to talk to you. Challenges that we face as human beings in the different paradigms that we are. So that is the challenge. So they were saying, are we going to recognize them? Are we going to put them into the same commission? I'm saying to them that the challenge is that what the Constitutional Court says is that there are supposed to be 15,000, and then you can have. Get registered and then you have to assemble. Now they claim to have 18,000 members. Now we are members of parliament. We don't enter in registering of unions. We say put it to us. So we go, the union says it's got 18,000. Now the general and minister account to us and give us, is this a legitimate union? Has it met the standard? No, it has not. Now what should we do as members of parliament when they have met the target? Should we interact and engage them and begin to work out the roles with them? Now this is one thing, SANDU 1. SANDU 2, you don't know what's going on. We've got members, where are they? They're somewhere there, pocket there. But nothing in paper. SASCO, this policy and that policy, these are revolutionary. Now I don't know which one of the revolutionaries, maybe they're amongst yourselves. And when you talk like that, you are creating conditions of cool. That's the problem. You are highly trained. You must understand. You are highly trained. You are training you day in, day out. You are training you in mind, you are training you physically. Now, if ever you are going to talk about revolution, you should be suspicious that you might want to overthrow us. And you need to be able to. We will rely on you. If you are going to create a cool, this will be. But I'm just saying, there is no sense within those unions. They David, all members of parliament, he said, can't you work in unity? Can't you be united? So if their conditions are so bad, be united and we have one union and we talk to one condition. So that you understand who are talking to. You can't be talking to many politicians. That is not here or there. So if we are going to engage them into that commission, it means that we engage four different components of four different parties who claim that they are representing the FN. I'm not the one to judge. The portfolio committee is given an opportunity to sit down with the minister and come to a decision about who we are recommending to participate in that particular committee. I'm just describing that what has happened there. That nobody seems to know. If you say there were 3,000 members of FN here, who are those people? Which you know has more polite, good members? And where are that participants? The principle is you allow unionization in part of the FN here, while other different forces right across the world allow some professional groups to be representatives of yourself and raise up your issues and be able to negotiate and lobby for you throughout the period. That's one alternative than unionization. But what you can create is too many pockets of power. That there's an authority of unions, there's an authority of the ministry, there's an authority of the commander. That can end with and have the sector. Although all of them are accounting. The sector, the commanders are accounting to the minister, but they do have some authority over the FNC. And you allow unions to have a presentation and have a voice, it might create a decision. That is the challenge. I'm not arguing, I'm giving you a preaching and the views expressed by different members of parliament. That's why they are telling me. And I'm listening to them. So when I tell you, you don't have much power, you must listen. You know, then like when the community of the assembly comes up, you speak to them, you express the views of the committee. So what I'm expressing here is the understanding and the information that is in front of the committee itself, of the variety of positions that are happening within the institution. So that's what is happening, was how far we can really talk about what is going on. But I've been always saying, and I'm still saying, that you are guided by the constitution. Are guided by the Constitution. You have put up your responsibility and your oath to the Constitution. And Parliament and parliamentarians are guided by the Constitution. We are dealing with the constitutional state. So whatever we do, that's why we say the minister was correct. The minister was correct because she has not gone against the constitutionality. She has not condemned. She has not dismissed. When she dismissed those soldiers and said she's going to dismiss them, she said, I'm guided by the Constitution. Because the Constitution expressed itself very clearly on discipline within the assembly. It's a constitutional matter. Now, if she doesn't recognize the Constitution, she must give disregard to that particular constitutional matter. If she don't deal with the morality of the assembly, which is part of the legislation, I think we must deal with the morality. Across board. If we think we are not doing very well, by law we should be arrested. That's what we should do by law, by legislation. When we come and complain as a soldier and say, you know what you said has affected me, it made me not be able to do my work. It gives you the morale, the proper responsibility, both here and at the center, to look after you and be able to maintain your morale. Because by legislation, that becomes our responsibility. The ministry has maintained. She has not gone against us. She has maintained the fact that if you are an upholder of the law, then what the court decides that the strike or your actions are illegal, then you go against that as the FNC because you have got a union. It's not dismissed. In terms of military, if we become cold and hard, we are supposed to call it mutiny. And mutiny means death. That's what military knows. Mutiny means death. There's no court processes there. You go to the military court, take a decision and they shoot you. That's what they do. But the minister decided not to follow that of allowing general to decide that this is mutiny, and mutiny means in the terms of the defense that if you've gone against their own law, they have to shoot you. And that's what the court martial you, shoot you. That's what was supposed to happen in this. Because you can't wear the commander in chief. As human beings, you march towards human beings, the monarch, not kidding. You come and say to us, you are demanding to improve your own city. That is not what we are talking about. And that's what we are not going to be able to discuss. That is new teaching. And you can then take those that have been commanded and bring them back into the essence. Because you are not upholding the constitutionality of the arrangement that says this is a professional embodiment of society which is highly disciplined, guided by the constitution. And there's an expectation upon you that this institution you must uphold that particular. That can be a challenge. And that's what we are condemning. The incident that took place in human beings would never support it. And we'll do the support the ministry as much as we can. Given that particular yes, got responses of 433 of them. Now there are no more 3,000, there are 1,000. Which means the other people may just join in a mass around Australia. The one challenge is that we want to allow in the different sexualities to fight with each other. No, we don't want. But the police can't. They've also got a constitutional obligation that if you commit crime, must arrest you. So the police wouldn't stand there around and say, no, this is our colleague, they're carrying around Molotov, and doing a very serious work. And they clear heads. And panga, they clear heads. So you are doing a very beautiful thing. You are a soldier. You are highly trained to carry around panga in Pretoria. You go and take you go and drink and kick out your own commander in chief. Then you all stand and clear heads. You're going to even dismiss those police. Well, there's nothing that says, by constitution, by law, that they must not arrest anyone who walks around with a gun. And that's what the police did on that particular day. They reinforced and they got an instruction to shoot. They shoot them. Because there was nothing by law, they were not supposed to have been there. Their own commanders have told them in their different bases that you don't go out of the base. Because that's not much is needed. And they did that. In the West and in the South Pacific. So what we are saying is condemning. What we are saying to you, we are going to improve your condition. We are going to engage you. The same members of parliament that will be coming in to clean in here, you are going to find them in a different place to come and talk to you about the final decision of how that decision is going to help interpret and solicit input from you. So it doesn't mean that you are going to need to win of the general. We are going to engage ourselves here as we sit here. That Mlangeni, Mamu, Kabateli, Katutiale, Menu. We come from different parties and we have one voice, the portfolio committee. So when we come to you, we'll be coming to come and engage you, talk about your own material condition, service condition that you're concerned with. But the ministry from the day she came in said we are going to create a new dispensation. So we are going to work on that dispensation. That's why the intelligence is not striking. But they are under a new dispensation. So we are going to do that particular one. But that one of the unionization, we seem to be in common. And we seem to be united as different parties. But we are not going to encourage unionization or anything like that. The pros and cons, leave it to us. We are the policymakers. We are going to defend that particular matter. Might have your illusion that you want to belong to a union, you are going to fight, you are going to be in trouble with that. We must be very careful. We are going to be in trouble with that because we are going to work and proceed right and wrong that we could be against that particular matter. We are going to approach the constitution and talk to them about the particular matter. But we don't think it's good for the chicken to be in the right. That's what I'm going to do. Okay. And then give you an opportunity to raise your question and engage the general. We have put enough. We don't allow members of parliament to much stop position. You come forward. You will find this position. should be knowing God enough. Then hold them accountable. So don't go far. I didn't mean that they must bully you. You know, I give a task to sit next to me. Bottom line is the delegation is led by Brigadier General Skuma. These are different people. They come from different areas in Africa. They come from different departments. You can see how disciplined they are. They are very disciplined. They are not psychic. They are here to empower themselves to establish much knowledge about how we are operating, how we are doing, how we are here, how to overcome their work that they are doing. So they are here to come and take some few lessons from. They might not have enough time to wrong time, but they want to get something from them. So I'll leave them now to ask them, and I'll allow them to member of Parliament to give you an answer. I can think of a few again.
Thank you, sir. Please introduce yourself when you raise your question. The floor is open. Honorable Mendes.
Captain Syed, South African Navy. So could you tell us what percentage increase we could expect and when will we get it? We promise not to strike.
All we can say is that all of us in this committee are behind you. We are aware that the conditions under which we are working are not very satisfactory as members of the SANDF and so on and so forth. Not satisfactory. We are ourselves concerned, if I may call you comrades. You are my comrades, all of you. And as I say, we are not happy with the salaries that we are getting, and we are going to push Parliament and the Ministry that conditions must be improved. The Chairperson has already informed you, told you about the commission that is going to be established. We are saying we are not in favor of unionism. There are other countries, Chairman has already pointed out, where some kind of unionism is allowed, but it's called professionalism, professional associations. You must be aware of that. A trade union, by definition, is a political thing. Can we allow members of the SANDF to be given a political body? I don't think we can allow that. If there's a crisis in the country, for example, say we are being attacked, and the union says, you are not going to defend the country. And the government says, we are under attack, defend. The union says, you are not going to war. Well, what kind of a country is that? I'm not going to go into all that, but we are behind you, comrades. We are going to make certain that a structure is established, not the union, the trade union in the army, but a structure must be established which will take up your issues, which will take up the issues of salary, social things, etc., etc., economic and social. That structure must exist. Where probably some of you, the representatives, we don't know how it's going to be established. But you must have a voice. You must have a voice, and that is what we are aiming at. We are going to have a voice, comrades. We are behind you. Your salaries are very low. We are aware of that. We can't allow that to happen. Gather, for example, as a woman, if I may give an example, we write to Randy. I think he's paying his army well. That is why there's no mission. That is why they are not in a position to overthrow him. He must be giving a lot of salary to say, chaps, I've got to satisfy my men in order to defend me. I'm not saying that should be the position in South Africa.
But all we are saying is, coming to you from the chair, that we are aware that their salaries are very low and they're putting them improved. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. I'm going to start to speak as an Honorable Member. I'm a Colonel Major from the South African Air Force, working at Training Command as the head of Faculty Civic Education. And when you talk about civic education, you talk about a very good, you know, concept in the South African National Defense Force. Last year, I was given an opportunity to go to DRC to be an advisor to the FARDC in Congo about civic education. And what they stressed most is that it's not civic education only. It's civic education and patriotism. I think in the National Defense Force, we really need to stress a patriotism, you know, in the soldiers so that they can know that what does it mean to go out there and behave unprofessionally. Like when Dr. Bengu was there, he was saying that, what are you doing here? Why are you giving all these advices? And whereas at home we are having a problem. And civic education is strictly guiding and, you know, defining what is us doing in the defense force. We are not protecting the guard or the constitution. We are upholding it, meaning that we are guided by the law of the country and the international one. When I was reading on the newspaper, I really got struck, you know, like really stressed when in an article they were saying that what if the members of the defense force get recruited outside, and then where does that put our national security? It's very worrying. So if the portfolio committee on defense can really sit down and, you know, make sure that we really, you know, kick-start the civic education and patriotism, it will be good. Because as a unit commander, you know, I was once challenged by my subordinate. He was asking me, are you from APLA or are you from NK? And then if you are not a leader, you will say that I'm from APLA or I am from NK. But as a commander, for you to draw back discipline, you have to say that I am employed by the FANDF. So the Portfolio Committee on Defense has to really relook at kickstarting or ensuring that civic education, my department, I'm not telling myself, that it is really operational. Thank you very much.
Andre?
I am Colonel Silveira from Brazilian Army. Although salary concerns us all, including Brazil, we the members of National Executive Security Program, or Executive National Security Program, we are dealing in our course with some strategic issues. For example, security entails addressing human security. That means poverty, education, housing, etc. We'd love to see all departments of this government to get involved in security. That's not an issue for the defense force only, definitely. On the other hand, South Africa needs a strong defense force to back the diplomacy with international forums like CEDIC, UA, UN. And to get a strong defense force, well-prepared, well-trained, well-equipped, well-managed, they need budget. They need a back and a support from the parliament. So the question is, sir, what are you doing about that? Thank you, sir.
what I wanted to ask is that when you address this issue of the military commission and all the other problems of soldiers, where do you place the civilians within the National Defense Force? Because in the National Defense Force, there are two companies of civilians. You have those civilians that were compelled by an act of parliament to demilitarize the United States, but who still enjoy the benefits, their benefits as soldiers, because they were trained to be soldiers, though they are professionals in their own environment. And also, there are also those that are civilians, but they are supporting the National Defense Force. So where will the commission, the military commission, put them or place them? Thank you very much.
Thank you, friend. Colonel Mabanga from the South African Army. I'd like to say before that I don't condone whatever happened at the union building. But I would like to find out if there was no union building, will the commission be there to look at the right of existence of unionism within the defense force or not?
Captain Gindili from the Eastern Navy. I will not repeat what has been said about the uncalled for action in the Navy. But nonetheless, I'm concerned with the sense that when there is a smoke, it means there is a fire. And I'm afraid that we don't go back to the apartheid practice of not addressing the issues and instead use the tension. I'm talking with a deep sense of feeling how our young folks have suffered. To them, this union were their favor. Now, some of them who are technically trained, who are highly trained, have left us because of the frustration that they were suffering from. And some of them remained because they had hope of the emerging union, especially the SASC. Now, if these unions are banished, I'm telling you, we are going to lose a lot of technically young people. But I've discovered with these young people, they are not taking nonsense as we do sometimes take it out ourselves. They are very much sensitive to these practices which happen to be done in certain units. So immediately they steal, they just leave, and the private sector is looking for them. So we might banish the union, but we will be encountering another problem of losing quite a number of these young people. Secondly, I've been of the opinion that unionism is not right. I think I've said it even in front of them. My argument has been that it divides our forces. It divides them in terms of political lines, and it divides them in terms of the union where they belong. But I would prefer a situation where the structure that is being created creates itself in a way that it becomes an effective structure where it will address not only the question of the salaries, increasing salaries. Look at the integration process. One of the editors in the Pretoria News said the problem that has happened in union building is the outcome of the integration process, which didn't happen correctly. Now, I wish this structure can address that. When you look at, you go to Mutata, you go to Port Elizabeth, you go to Bulugwan, you find that people who are of 51 years old, who is the corporal. And as long as that is not addressed, I'm telling you, it is going to be just a political stance of trying to destroy the union, but at the same time, the masses, the people on the ground, our soldiers are suffering. So I would prefer that this structure that has been created does not only destroy the union, but goes directly to the core problem, which is the suffering that is suffered by our soldiers down at the union.
In the house, it's difficult to say something because I came late. If you can't hear me, I think they do. Oh, Nina. I can't say as much as I would have loved to say if I came earlier. And I don't want to explain why I came late. You see my state, my physical state. But we don't know the purpose of the meeting, no, rather than saying. But from the questions that have been raised, I'm not grounded into understanding why such a question, what are we going to be doing as MPs, because I would have thought that when I entered to a given the full discussion, and I found an answer in what you're saying. We can also not think that at this meeting we can really come up with everything. Because if somebody said if what happened in Pretoria didn't happen, what were we going to be saying? That's a good question. But our defense personnel and our defense, they are like, yeah, we need all of us to learn not to wait until things are at the peak. Because I'm telling you, somebody is talking about integration. I can talk also about integration till now. But why would we, as South Africans who fought, who won, who are what we are, wait as if we're on the school kids? And until you say we can't take it anymore. And some of us are public representatives. There are two questions that the masses are asking on the ground. Why now? Why in Pretoria exactly? Those are two questions that are messing up the masses. Why now? Were you getting money all along? And all of a sudden you're not getting. And why choose that then? Those are two questions. I can't answer them. Maybe I'll organize with my chair to find some of you guys to go to our constituency and explain these two questions. Because they are very important. Whosoever strategized and said, this is the right thing, has the reason why you chose that thing. Why now, when you're getting so much and then you talk, there's no money from the citizens that you're getting. There's nothing. Even the minister said it. He's not saying you're getting it. But it's not going to be new to say socioeconomic, the wellness of our people. It's been spoken about. But let us make use of the fact that you are South African. We've got mothers and sisters and brothers, who some of them are here in Parliament. And let's make use of the chances that we have with those families to discuss these things in advance, right through as we develop. Let's not wait for a particular phase to happen and say, away with this thing. There was a question from Brazil. I leave it with my chief. What is parliamentarian going to do with it? Because the whole of last week and that week was basically this issue. What are you going to do with it? Let's not take it as an isolated issue. What were we doing with the rest of other things? If they were reported, there has been a check right through. I've been in other portfolio committees. We have never heard what you are hearing now since Pretoria issue started. So let's learn that we cannot isolate ourselves and behave like were clouds in the sky, and when the rain comes, we shall fall anyway. No, we can't. We can't. We can't. A child is not born today and go to university the following day. This country is not like other countries. We're only 15 years. Some people will say, after 15 years, this 15 years is millions and millions of years. We would have loved to be with everybody within these 15 years. And somebody said, when I started, I was anyway. Now I'm anyway. And I've got such skills since this 15 years. We're not hearing about what our people have before they joined the army. I can't go anywhere international and say, our army has got people who have got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 skills and people who aspire by the time they retire to have gained this, that, because our country needs A, B, C, D. No, we're not scientific in solving this problem. We're really not scientific. Sometimes, including ourselves, sometimes we behave like we've got other citizenship in other countries where we can just take and go. If things are wet. We don't. This is the only country we need to build it. Don't be afraid of saying, hey, MPs are going to say we're loose mentally if we raise this issue. Allow us to say that and then just engage. Because if you keep quiet, by the time you come, it will be too late. It will be too late. This is your home. This is your family. South Africa is your family. Parliament is your public representative. You did vote. I will repeat what I said when the minister was coming here to see us. You did vote. You've got your own public representative. Make use of them. Not as an army person, because there's this fictitious argument that, hey, but you are not allowed to enter into politics. You are not born by politics. You've got your mother, your father in South Africa. Before you go to where King is surrounding, where he tells you politics, you are not allowed to touch politics. You take a bus, you don't have a car, even if you do, the roads are full. I'm trying to simplify the whole matter. There's nothing called a particular venue where you can't talk ABCD. Where do you come from so before you arrive at that venue? The politics laws, fine. But who do you discuss with at home? Who you think and believe you voted for, then he has got the right to come to Parliament and say, hey, comrades, we are sleeping. ABCD is catching up with us.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone to join the army. But we
an individual decided to join the army, in joining the army, surely all of you have taken an oath. That oath follows by the code of conduct of the military. Code of conduct. I'm saying this because I'm from the former Home Condo Institute. For the last 8 years, I took oath underground. Because our organization, Home Condo Institute, was formed underground, secretly in our way. But I took oath. And I have to follow the conduct of command, the control. Whether under any difficult circumstances, because I'm not forced by anybody, I decided to join in order to free our country and defend our people. Very difficult circumstances in our country. And that hunger, no water, nothing, but I never gave up. I never made any mutiny against my leadership. I followed that up to the present day from former Mkondo Institute for the last 8 years. I was arrested together with the leadership as we were the nuclear structure, the substructure from Porto Rico. That's in Osman Dela, Gavin Peggy, Elias Muswaleni, and many more leadership. Andrew Mlangeni, we were arrested. Beaten, tortured, and all those things to reveal what the aims and objectives of Home Condo Institute. We resisted in defense of this organization in order to achieve the freedom of our people in this country. We took it. This is because, you know, I'm being exercised, I've been hanged into that. I live my support. No. We know that by joining the army, path of life and death, life and death, whereas the child is being called several times, thrown on Robben Island, was beaten, cut in stones and all that. We never gave up. Eaten rubbish, but we never gave up. Sleeping on cement, never gave up. Not clothes, never gave up. No food, never gave up. Why? The conduct that the oath, we follow the conduct of our leadership. Free this country, to defend our people. You all, you are here today because of what I'm saying. Because of what I'm saying. The President of Zuma, for instance, when he was served on Robben Island, the President today. So, I come to this point, the fact that the army is an important instrument, important organ of any country. Yes? We were raising our things, metal, conditions on Robben Island, but it's not
to do that?
Would you? This will take very most important thing. Yes. So we are with you. We are with you. We know your condition. Contest, services, all that, even the arms that you are using. We know. Some are old. We know. We will be with you. But please, no beauty. Unity is a power. Let us refrain from military unity to defend this country. People, that's very important. Let us do so. We will do it. The commission will monitor, will look at us, will assess it, whether that look into this problem. We too, as a committee, will come to areas, to structures, to observe your condition. We know your condition. We know. I don't need to say there are four. We know your condition. We will come. But we have come here to be with us, to share this problem. I'm standing here explaining all what we went through. And I mean, also saying that we will, but indeed. I want to say thank you very much. You will see me next time in your structure. I will be there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. My name is David Mania. I am still a member of Parliament, and I am still a member of the Portfolio Committee on Defence and Military Veterans. I'd like to try to respond to two questions. One about the new security arising from the General's comment and also from the officer from Brazil, and another about the commission arising from the officer from the South African Navy. Let me say, I mean, I'll play my role. Let me put the contrary position. I'm worried, in fact, about the new concept of security, the new broad concept of what's known as the new security. And I'm worried about it because it seems to me that too few of us consider the democratic consequences of the new security. I mean, if you accept the proposition that in a democracy and in democratic civil-military relations, the challenge is to define a narrow space within which the security sector, and particularly the military, operates. That sector, if you like, or that space, is normally externally orientated and defense-related. I mean, if you then have a broad concept of national security, where it can literally mean anything, you in fact broaden, which is a problem from a democratic point of view. Because that space is a function of your national security ideology and also your legislative mandate. And so the new concept of security has democratic consequences precisely because it is such a deeply authoritarian concept. That's the point. Because in the end, it comes down to practicality. The failure to build housing is not a national security problem, and it's not a failure of the national security sector. And it's not a failure of the military. The failure to build housing is, for a problem, is a failure in the Department of Housing. It is a, if you like, a problem in the civilian, not sphere of our society, not in the military sphere of society. If we conflate those two, I think we have, there are some very, very problematic democratic consequences. And I would hope that the senior leadership in the security cluster, which includes yourself, the members of the executive, and also members of our committee, have the opportunity to debate this conflict as we debate national security policy. So that's one thing which I think needs to be considered and debated, particularly by individuals like yourself. Let me then also talk to the office from the South African Navy. I mean, he actually asked a very pertinent question, and the commission, which the minister is going to set up on Monday, is certainly an initiative which I support and which my party supports. But it's a commission that is going to have to, during its six-odd months term of office, going to have to be courageous, because it's going to have to answer what is seemingly a very simple question. And you put that question. Your question was, what is the core problem? And I think we make a mistake if we make two assumptions in trying to respond to that question. The first assumption is that is to assume that the problem is simple. In other words, that the problem in the Defence Force is service condition. I think the problem is much more complex than that. The second assumption is to say, well, or to think that these problems are new problems. I think that there are problems in the security sector and problems in the Defence Force which are going to have to be identified by the Commission, which have very long history in our defense. Because I would argue that the history of, in particular, the SANDF is more a history of continuity than change. And let me give you one example. I'm sure that this issue will arise, and it's an issue that arises in the newspaper and the press very long. One of the problems, according to some analysts, is the failure in the military to make appointments based on merit. That's one of them. And that's possibly one aspect that the Commission are going to have to consider. But we make a big mistake if we think that that is a new problem. If indeed that problem exists in the SANDF, it was certainly, I can assure you, a problem that existed in the SADF. And if we go back in our history, it was definitely a problem that existed in the Union Defence Force. When the National Party took control in 1948, General Poole was retired in a very short while. The head of military intelligence, Charles Powell, in 1948, got his marching orders within days. These are problems that have got long, that are A, complex, and have long history in our defense force. But this is a moment, I think, where we, if we are courageous and we are honest, we can begin, I think, to begin to resolve. Thank you, Chief.
And ladies, mine is to close it. I was showing the depth of leadership that is in Parliament, the variety of views that we have. And I still want to insist on listening to those. People want to talk to us more. Would ask one pertinent question: where were the white soldiers in the past? If you claim that it affects the system, where were the white soldiers? But then it creates, it mirrors the surprise of the past. So it's not your problem, it's our problem. And as leaders in society, we need to be guided. But we don't want to engage you based on your politics. We can do that. Because if they are going to say to us, when it's like the national fight is for it, the national fight is for it. You have the commander in chief. You cannot go to a building, you are holding because of the people. And in terms of security, you can't just force them to us. And every person we have to do is an answer. They're protecting us. Why would you want to march to? Why do you march to the airport? If you are able to do us was bringing attention to us to understand the conditions. But we don't have to take
are with you. We are going to work with you. But you have to get up because after that, there is a professor of committee chair. We will be coming down to you. And I'd like to come and listen to you so that whatever we work out in the depth of your honor can be. I'm sorry, I couldn't do anything. But he said he did that sickness, so I told him to take over. He said he's afraid of a coup, so he couldn't take over. It's not like him that much.
Members of the NFC 2009, the facilitators, the spouses, we really appreciate this moment. We are saying that this moment of interaction, we hear your view, the overview of the present situation, especially in the defense force, which is very sensitive to all of us. We really appreciate this moment, but we are saying here we'll come and we look back, we actually glance back, we look forward, we say what is the future, we all hold the future. We thank you very much for this moment, for the token of our appreciation. We've got this film. This film is the Mr. Boy, the emblem of the National Defense Force. It's our 2009 emblem. And if you see, there are five flags. That is, the flags represent the countries, the students from the current countries. That is Brazil, Egypt, South Africa, Mozambique, Nigeria. And underneath, we've got our slogan, the core slogan that we've agreed upon, Ubuntu. We are saying Ubuntu ngabantu. That is, I am because of other persons. So we would like to present you with this. Thank you on behalf of the portfolio committee. We are a collective. We really love you. We always need the passionate, especially put here one of our own veterans say some of us are taking different roads in different parts of our lives. And we've always made that point to say that we need to serve. And we are committed to serve. And we stand in front of you, that's why they all came out in different ways to come and stand and sit with you. Those are members of the defense force. We are committed to help take you out of the situation of the conflict. Young and old within the portfolio committee have made that commitment. We know we have got brothers and sisters
that belongs to that interpretive process. We have friends that belong to that particular process. We have had people that have died in the long process. We know what the conference is. It's not easy. But we still can, as a particular comment, that we are in pain. You better make sure that the military government is not part of this. Because we are not here. At the end of the road, that we're going to be the military government. Somebody else will come here. In the old time, beyond that. Thank you. And we want to say thank you. And we are going to be quite near. And we have made our home in our community. So any other thing that the community is here, out of our own country. And we're really giving up.
Can the army also give some concluding remarks? Thanks very much for your time, sir. We really appreciate that. But as I said earlier, we're in the business of training and developing and to stimulate strategic conversation, strategic thought. And it's important for us, you know, as the facilitators, to make sure that we engage almost every sector of our society, our civil society, including the institution, parliament, and the portfolio committee. Committee for that matter, and to see how they reason and think about certain strategic issues. So for us, we would like to propose then that we make this a regular standing, and obviously if it is put into your schedule, sir, that we can bring along our program here and come and maybe spend more time together, 2-3 hours maybe, and discuss certain issues and as the other member also said there that you need to understand, you know, the things that we teach the students at the college and understand the various ways of thinking of national security and as I said on a broad base. So thanks very much, and we will be certainly contacting Mandy Bali again to make sure that we can bring the following program next year along and obviously the teachers. Thanks very much.